You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM proudly presents Career Talk, a monthly program featuring information on career and academic planning. Sponsored by Rowan University's Office of Career Advancement. And now, here's your host, the Assistant Director of the Office of Career Advancement, Reuben Britt.
Welcome to Career Talk. I'm your host, Reuben Britt, Assistant Director for the Office of Career Advancement. The Office of Career Advancement is your place for your career planning needs. We provide information on jobs, internships, part-time jobs, as well as we critique resumes for Rowan students and alumni. Also, we have information on other job search engines that can help you with your job search. We also critique your resumes, as well as cover letters, and much more. We host a number of events during the school year, including our Fall Career Fair, our Spring Career Fair, our Education Expo, a Federal Government and Nonprofit Agency Career Fair, Accounting and Finance Expo, and much more. Joining us today is Ms. Gabrielle Lamastro and Ms. Erin Richards. Welcome to Career Talk.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now, you two are going to be conducting a workshop on graduate school. Can you tell us a little bit more about the presentation?
Sure. So our presentation is basically graduate school preparation. So we're going to go a little bit over what degrees you can get, what kind of subjects or majors graduate school degrees are usually in, and the overall timeline, when to apply, what you need to apply, how to evaluate programs for what's best for you.
And I know a lot of times students or individuals who are looking at going on to graduate school, sometimes they don't really have a clear understanding of what graduate school is all about. Can you give us some information on what graduate school is all about?
Sure. So graduate school is basically just more schooling to get an advanced degree. So anything more than a bachelor's, a master's degree, a PhD, anything like that is what you would go to graduate school for. You can get degrees for law school, I believe is called a Juris Doctor. So that's a form of graduate school. Any master's, so an MBA. If you want to go to med school, you would get a doctorate for that as well.
And what is the difference between a master's and a PhD?
So a lot of the differences with the master's and the PhD is just about like the timeline that it takes to get the degree. A master's degree typically takes less time than something like a PhD or any other doctorate degree like an MD or a law degree. Usually the master's degree is viewed as like the secondary education. So you get your bachelor's degree first, then you'd get your master's degree, and then you'd go get your PhD. So kind of master's is sometimes a stepping stone between your bachelor's and your PhD. However, it's not necessary to always get your master's degree first. Some people go right into a PhD, and you don't actually need a master's or a PhD for some programs as well. So it really is based up to the individual, what you need, what kind of career you're looking for. So you really have to evaluate what you want in your career and if these degrees are necessary and which one you should get or which one you should get first.
Great. Now, if I were a candidate or who was considering going on to applying to graduate school, what should I consider before applying to graduate school?
So first and foremost, you have to figure out if graduate school is necessary for your career path. So obviously, if you want to be a doctor, if you want to be a lawyer, you have to go to some form of graduate school in order to practice. However, other degrees don't necessarily need an advanced degree. So if you're in business, you should be fine with a bachelor's, but maybe you do want to get your master's because you can get a salary bump with that. So first and foremost, you have to consider if it's necessary for you. After that, you have to consider the costs in relation to what your payoff would be. So I mentioned earlier that normally with an advanced degree, you are more likely to get promoted. You're more likely to have a higher salary. So you have to figure out if those benefits later on are worth the cost of that advanced degree.
Now, what is the best way to evaluate what programs are best for, say, somebody who's considering going on to graduate school?
So this is kind of similar to how you would you know, evaluate a college program as well. You ask a lot of the same questions. One thing that would be different, though, is, you know, colleges are usually around 4 years. But one thing is some master's programs could be 1 year, some could be 2 years. PhD programs are typically longer. So the first thing you should do is really research the timelines for each of these programs and just figure out how much of a time commitment they would be if you went into the programs. The second thing you should consider are the courses. A lot of these programs have websites that have their courses listed online. You should check them out and see which ones are of interest to you. A lot of them are the same, but there are some different ones. There can be different specializations, so definitely consider that when you're looking into different programs. Of course, you need to look into the cost. That's really big. You need to see how much you're going to pay for these classes if you can afford them. You can also look and see what scholarships are available, if assistantships are available. You have to consider if you want to live on campus or if you want to commute. So if you want to commute, you obviously have to look at programs closer to you. And then in general, you should just look into like the open houses. They're all online for these programs. Don't be afraid to reach out to the different professors at those programs or different students that are in those programs currently. Just getting a really good picture of each of these programs before you start applying, just to make sure that your needs are met if you do end up going into the program, and that you're making sure that you're getting the best out of it for yourself.
Now, I've got to put in this plug for the Office of Career Advancement. We have a series of volumes of books called The Peterson's Guide that lists all the graduate and professional school programs in the country and the different majors. And in the book, it also kind of gives the candidate information on the percentage of students that are accepted. They break down the ethnic break, gives you information on the ethnic breakdown of the students in the program, gender breakdown, and the cost, even though we recognize that the cost of education goes up. But, you know, we talked about paying for graduate school, and there is, it also lists information on scholarships, fellowships, assistantships. And assistantship is one of the things that it, you see it quite often in the book. Can you shed some light in terms of what is an assistantship?
Sure. So an assistantship is a paid position given to a grad student. Most of the time, it's often working for that department. So if you're going to school to get your MBA, which is a master's in business admin, your assistantship will most likely be in that college of business. And then, so most of these assistantships, they offer you a stipend, which can help pay for tuition. And sometimes, if you're lucky enough, they will even pay for your tuition partially or in full.
Yeah, that's right. And I know some of the schools do even also throw in little packages for housing as well. So, but that's really some really good information to know about. What are the most common things asked in a graduate school application?
So there are a couple of different things that are usually asked for in all these applications that you're looking for. The standardized test scores are, of course, necessary for most of these programs, and there are different tests that you would have to take depending on the program that you're going into. A personal statement is always required, letters of recommendations from professors, coworkers, your transcript, your college transcript, and your resume. So those are typically the most sought for parts of your application.
Now, you talked about standardized tests, and I know, depending on your major, sometimes you may even be required to take a subject test. Say, if you're a biology major and you're going on to get your master's or PhD in biology, you would not only be required to take the GRE, but you would also have to take the standard the subject test. It also is common in, like, say, music and the like. So this is something that a lot of people need to know about, coupled with what you mentioned earlier about the personal statement. Now, I want you to take some time to really share with our listeners all the important things about putting together a first of all, give our listeners what a personal statement is and what are some of the things that need to be included in the personal statement.
So a personal statement would be an essay that focuses on the passion for your chosen career and basically why you want to apply to that particular program. So you really need to go in depth and why you actually want to major in what the program is focusing on. So you should go into, you know, when you realize why you wanted to choose this career path, you need to figure out like what personal characteristics would make you best for this career path. And definitely you have to focus on the different criteria of the program. You should look into the classes, the different resources that are available, and really tie in why you're interested into the program. State specific, state why you think certain courses might be beneficial to you, why certain resources given by the program would be beneficial to you. And this goes back into researching and evaluating different programs. You really have to know what these programs will offer you in order to see what, like, if you're the best fit for the program. And the personal statement really highlights why you should go to the program, why you're the best fit for it. And you should also focus again on why you chose the field that you're going into. And definitely just cite certain personal experiences that led you to make that decision. So, you know, it's called a personal statement for a reason. So focus on you personally, why you'd be a good candidate for graduate school in that particular program.
Thank you. Now, earlier I mentioned that both Aaron and Gabrielle are going to be doing a workshop on preparing for graduate school. Can you shed some light on the whole aspect of this presentation that you're going to be both conducting?
Sure. So as I mentioned earlier, it's for graduate school preparation. So we're going to be going over the topics that we're covering in this radio show, as well as a little bit more detail definitely during the workshop. Our workshop is going to be at 1 o'clock next Monday at the Office of Career Advancement. So we're going to cover the general timeline of the graduate school application process. So that is going to have a little leeway with the actual, you know, months and everything, but that is the general duration is 8 months to apply for grad school. And that is going to change a little bit. So if you're starting now, you're going to have to make that 8 months into about 4 or 5 months. We're also going to be talking about what kind of grad programs there are. So there's pharmaceutical grad school, there's law school, as I mentioned earlier, general med school if you want to be a surgeon or a general doctor like that, MBAs, education, if you want to be a college professor, you have to get your PhD. And then we're also going to be talking about how to fully get what you need to apply. So how to best write your personal statement, who to go for your letters of recommendation, how to prepare for the standardized tests, and other information like that.
Great. Now, you both work in the Office of Career Advancement as interns. What are some of the things that you feel that today's college students, and you know, when they're applying to graduate school, sometimes they also may be required to submit a resume. Mm-hmm. And I know you two are experts on that in that area. What are some of the things that they need to have include on their resume? And both of you all, you know, shed some light on it.
So for a resume, you should definitely have a couple different sections on there, starting off with your summary of qualifications. I like to think of that as an elevator pitch for yourself. So really highlighting your best attributes, what makes you really stand out among other applicants in this case or other applicants for a job. You should always highlight your education, your GPA, what you're getting your degree in, all that stuff, as well as your work history. Even if you've worked someplace just like a retail job, you should definitely include that. There's always transferable skills. So even if you're working at a place like I work at Wawa, that doesn't necessarily have anything to do with human resources directly, but there are transferable skills, communication, teamwork, that sort of stuff that can be highlighted on your resume in order to make you stand out as an applicant. Of course, you should also include any relevant experience. So for Aaron and I, we'd probably put this internship on there, obviously, as we're both looking to go into human resources. So highlighting that relevant experience as well. And of course, including any activities that you're a part of in college, any clubs, any volunteer experience. And that just kind of makes you look like a well-rounded applicant as well.
Aaron, is there anything you'd like to add to that?
I think Bree covered it all. I would just like to stress the importance of those outside involvement activities. Because nowadays, you know, when everybody is going to have, at the very least, an undergraduate degree, you want to make sure that you are also involved in either the school or the community in other ways, just to boost yourself in the eyes of the employer. So I know for us, we are both part of SHRM, which is the Society of Human Resource Management, which is a club specific for HR majors and mm-hmm. professionals. Mm-hmm. So if you have a major that has one of those clubs dedicated for that specific subject matter, you definitely want to get involved somehow. It's never too late to get involved. If you're on any sports, anything like that, because not only does it show your time management, it shows that you also care outside of your education.
And how important do you think volunteer experience is on an application or even on a resume for graduate school?
I think volunteer experience is extremely important. Again, it shows your time management skills. It shows that you care about your community. You care about giving back. And not only that, again, it boosts you in the eyes of the employer because I'm not just taking my courses and getting good grades. I'm taking my courses. I'm working. I'm doing this volunteer work and getting good grades.
Now, going back to the resume, because as I mentioned before, all too often graduate schools will require you to write submit a resume as well. What are some of the mistakes that you encounter when you both critique resumes?
I think one of the biggest mistakes just has to deal with format. You really want it just kind of running down the page. You want all black ink. You want pretty basic font. We see a lot of people submit resumes or come in with resumes that have kind of a weird format. They're all over the place. There's big gaps of white space on the page. So you really want to make sure that you are sticking to like the one page limit for a resume, but that you're utilizing the most of the space. You want to make sure that it's as full as possible with all this information. You want to make sure that you look like you're having these experiences, that you have this sort of knowledge about the career that you want to apply for or this graduate program that you're applying to. You want to make sure that you look like the best candidate, and having all those like empty spaces on the resume kind of looks like you're lacking experience or lacking initiative to get that experience. So definitely try to fill up a lot of the page, because sometimes I see a lot of people come in that aren't utilizing the full page there.
Okay, Erin?
So I'm a huge stickler for written grammar. So a lot of times people rely only on Microsoft Word or Google Docs, whatever they're using to write their resume, to catch all of their spelling errors and their grammatical errors. But those computer programs don't catch everything, which is why it's great to come in to a person like me or Bree or any of our other interns and have somebody look it over, because I do find a lot of spelling mistakes. I do find a lot of grammar errors, and that just looks very unprofessional.
Right. You're listening to Career Talk. I'm your host, Ruben Britton, and we're joined today by Ms. Erin Richards and Ms. Gabrielle Lamastro, and they've been sharing great tips on applying to graduate school. We're going to hear more from them in a few minutes, so stay with us. Welcome back to Career Talk. We're joined today by Ms. Erin Richards and Ms. Gabrielle Lamastro, and prior to the break, they were sharing information about applying to graduate school. They also talked about information or tips for submitting a resume for graduate school as well. With that in mind, you also mentioned earlier about letters of references. Can you shed some light on what are these letters of references and who should the candidates rely on in terms of getting references from people?
Sure. So a letter of reference or a letter of recommendation is basically just a letter that vouches for your skills, your achievements, your aptitude in school or at the workplace. You really want to make sure that you're asking people that know you personally. It's not enough just to ask a professor that you got an A in a class with. They really need to know you in and out of the classroom. They need to know who you are as a student, who you are as a person on campus. So I think professors are really great person to ask for a letter of recommendation. They can obviously vouch for your achievements within the classroom, and if you're involved with them outside, they can vouch for your characteristics there. It's really important to start seeking out these types of relationships early on in college. Mm-hmm. You know, don't be a stranger to your professors. You don't have to just talk to them in class. Make sure that you're popping into office hours, or if they're like an advisor to a club, make sure that you're involved there, and just make sure that they get to know you as a full individual, not just a student. Besides professors, you can also ask your coworkers, maybe your boss, your supervisors for like your internships or another relevant job. Just anyone who really knows and can vouch for you as a person and can really sell you to the school that you're applying to.
Great tip. Now, we talked about earlier about the Peterson's Guide that lists the schools that have graduate and professional school programs. We talked about tuition. We talked about assistantships, fellowships, scholarships. One of the things that I want to talk about is all too often when you're applying to these different schools, there's like an application fee. How expensive is it to apply to graduate school? Because, you know, I know sometimes people have maybe three or four or more schools that they have in mind that they're going to apply to. How expensive is it to apply to graduate school?
So, unfortunately, I can't give you a concrete price. It's going to vary depending on where you're applying, how many schools you're applying to, and all that. So first and foremost, you want to look at application fees. Just like undergrad, you probably will have to pay to apply to a school. And then not only that, is you're also probably going to have to pay to take the standardized tests. And then on top of that, to prepare for those tests. So if you all remember from high school, there were SAT books and everything like that. There's also those prep books for your GRE, your LSAT, your MCAT. So it's going to vary depending on where you're applying and then how many schools you're applying to. So I would definitely research that as early on as possible and start saving that money up as soon as you can.
With that in mind, what resources are available at Rowan University and the Office of Career Advancement in particular to help candidates learn more about graduate school and the application process?
So we did talk about some of the resources in the beginning, but of course, the Office of Career Advancement really offers a lot of services for all the Rowan students and alumni. So even if you aren't a current student and you're thinking about grad school now, you can always stop by. I would really recommend making an appointment with a career counselor or stopping in to visit one of the interns, either Erin or I, or there's plenty of other people that are around the office that could help you out. The career counselors can really help you sit down and help evaluate these programs alongside you. They can help you with different parts of your application. So Erin and I, of course, we do a lot of resume critique, so we could help you with your resumes. Maybe your career counselors can help you figure out, you know, your personal statements and maybe the best people who you can go to ask for that, for your letters of recommendations. And Erin and I, again, we're going to be doing this graduate school preparation workshop next Monday on December 3rd. And that's going to be really helpful for anyone who's looking to go into graduate school, looking for ways to evaluate these programs and construct this application. So even if you aren't, you know, going to grad school right away, if you're not, even if you aren't a senior right now, even if you're just a sophomore, maybe playing around with the idea, this is really open to everyone because you can never start too early. Again, it's really important to start getting these activities, these experiences, these relationships with your professors. So even freshmen, if you don't know, it's okay. You can still come in and kind of get an idea of what you should be doing to prepare now if you actually end up going to grad school.
Now, if somebody's listening to this program and maybe they've joined the program later on during the broadcast, can you shed some light in terms of what's listed on the Office of Career Advancement's webpage related to graduate school?
So there is a graduate school checklist on the website. So it kind of does go through some of the things we'll be talking about in our workshop. It gives you just kind of a breakdown of what you should be considering throughout the application process. It goes into details of your personal statement, the letters of recommendation, those standardized tests. It kind of breaks it down for you and gives you, you know, the checklist so that while you're applying for a program, you can kind of be marking it off as you go, making sure that you have all these pieces together for the application. And it's really just a good tool to help you stay organized and keeping track of what you need to do for your program. And of course, all programs are different, so it's really essential to be looking into the different pieces of each application just to make sure that you take into account what you need from that checklist, and you can also adapt the checklist in case you have anything additional that you need for the grad program. But it's all on the website. You should definitely check it out. If you come to the workshop, you can get all the information there. But again, if you're sitting there and you don't necessarily remember it, it's a really easy way just to get a refresher on what you need for the graduate program. And of course, it's online.
Thank you. I'd like to thank our guests today, Ms. Erin Richards and Ms. Gabrielle Lamastro, for being on the show. And I'd like to leave you with the tip of the day, networking. Networking is the number one way people find jobs in this country. 70% of the jobs in this country are through networking, by somebody knowing somebody, by somebody knowing somebody who knows somebody. Prof Jobs is another form of networking. In the Office of Career Advancement, we have information for over 100 job search engines that are for your specific needs. All of these job search engines are free, and they are, some of them are more specified for, say, somebody in performing arts, or somebody in business, or somebody in the social sciences. But we have these types of resources available. So please take advantage of the networking system. It's the oldest form of communicating. And as I said before, we have a lot of these resources. We recognize you are part of the Xbox generation, or the cell phone or smartphone generation, where you can access this information through a couple of touches. In the meantime, you've been listening to Career Talk. Until next time, stay positive. And remember, success doesn't come to you. You go to it.
You've been listening to Career Talk, a monthly program featuring information on career and academic planning, sponsored by the Rowan University Office of Career Advancement. Tune in next month for another edition of Career Talk, only on Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.